I just know when I get that click and to follow it. And I think that's like the feminine qualities of receptivity, where you're just open to what comes. I follow my curiosity, and I just know that the book's kind of going to speak through me and speak to me. And I'm just in a process with myself of letting that happen.
Hi, and welcome to the Creative Solutions Podcast, where we interview cutting-edge creative artists, entrepreneurs, and innovators who are changing the world. We also bring you tips and techniques that you can implement. This episode is brought to you by my favorite productivity hack, the Brain FM app, this podcast's hosts, Podbean, as well as my book, Speak From Within. Hey there, and welcome to the Creative Solutions Podcast. I'm your host, Isolde Trachtenberg. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen. I am thrilled to welcome back this week's guest. Let me tell you about Jacqueline Goldis. Jacqueline is a former estate planning lawyer turned globetrotting novelist. Armed with a BA in economics from the University of Michigan, go blue, because you know that's where I went, and a JD from New York University School of Law, Jacqueline spent 7 years practicing law in Chicago before swapping her briefcase for a backpack. After a year-long adventure across the globe, she settled near the beach, crafting gripping tales from cafe corners. Her debut novel, When We Were Young, led the way, followed by the suspenseful mystery, The Chateau, which if you haven't read, you should. And now get ready for her forthcoming thriller, The Main Character, and that's hitting the shelves tomorrow, May 21st, 2024. Jacqueline, thank you so much for being on the show. Welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here with you.
I am so excited about The Main Character. Now, I've read it, but we won't give anything away. But this is such a good book. Let me just start with the process of writing this book. Can you talk a little bit about the process of writing The Main Character versus some of your other books like The Chateau? And how do you feel about the development of your skills as a writer from book to book?
Oh, well, first, thank you so much. I'm so glad you enjoyed it. It's so fun, like starting to get, early feedback about the book. And yeah, I think that my process for every book is similar but different, because every book, I think every book has its own challenge, I guess I'll call it, that's particular to that book. And for this one, I had this book came to me with two kind of scenes. I saw in my head the second chapter of the book, and I saw the last scene of the book, and I was like, and in the second chapter, this doesn't give anything away. The main character, I guess, her name's Rory. She steps foot on this train as part of a trip organized by this best-selling wealthy author that she worked for. And she is, sees her luxurious cabin, and it's an all expenses paid trip. And then she walks into the bar car and she sees people she knows, and she's shocked. It's her brother, it's her best friend, it's her ex-fiance, and she doesn't understand why they are all there. And the book kind of started with me seeing that scene, and I said, okay, why are they all there? And I think when I saw the scene, I didn't know that the best-selling author had orchestrated this trip. So I had to work backwards, but yeah, I did see that scene. And then of course I won't give away the spoilers about the last scene, but I also saw that one in my mind. And so I think sometimes books come to me in these fragments or these, phrases or pictures like this one did. And then I have to, I settle on it, and then I'm like, okay, and now what? And so I think this book felt challenging in a certain way, because the conceit of it is that this best-selling author, the way she writes her books is quite different and unusual. It's that she hires people to be her main characters, and she minds their lives, and she pays them an exorbitant fee, and she investigates them, and then she kind of crafts fictional tales from their lives. And sometimes it felt a bit crazy. Like, I'm like, but, you want to like have something different, but also pin it in reality. And so, but I think the process of it was similar to how I write my books normally. I'm a plotter. I usually spend about 4 months researching and plotting and writing up a synopsis. And I don't go as far as chapter outlines. I like to leave myself kind of room for spontaneity and for magic, but yeah, I think otherwise it kind of ensued how my process normally does. And did I miss the second part of your question?
Nope, you got it. I'm fascinating. I'm fascinating. Oh, yes, I'm fascinating. I'm fascinated by the notion of, and this happens to me sometimes too when I write, you see the thing and then you kind of go, oh, now I have to figure out how that thing fits and flows with everything else that I'm going to end up writing. And you said yourself, you sort of had to work your way backwards. I had that happen with a character, for example, that people were like, where's your bad guy, Zolda? And I said, excuse me. And it's a man versus herself kind of thing. And she and my friends all said, no, you're writing an urban fantasy. You need a bad guy. And I had to sort of insert another character into the book who ended up becoming very important to the next couple of books in the series. Has anything like that happened to you when you're writing? Do the things that the characters do, and if so, how, surprise you as the writing unfolds, as the story unfolds? I know you said you'd like to leave yourself a little bit of room for magic. What has been the biggest surprise in writing the book?
Yeah, I love that because every book, of course, does surprise you in certain ways. I think that this book, the writing of it, maybe surprised me less than some of my others because while, yeah, certain characters made, left turns when I expected rights, I think for the most part, like I really envisioned these characters and played with them before I put them on the page. And so, and especially because I saw that last scene in my mind, I knew what I was working towards with my last book, The Chateau. The final scene was a last minute thing. Like I had finished the book and I was like, no, that's not right. It has to end differently. And so in that way, the characters really surprised me. Whereas with this one, like the ending was one of the things I really knew. And so how we got there kind of surprised me because I always like I never know how the climax scene is really going to ensue. And I didn't know certain aspects. Actually, you know what really surprising about this book now that I think about it, because I have to remember I wrote it a while ago, is I didn't originally know I was going to have set scenes in Soviet Moscow because originally everything was going to be in the present, and I didn't even know that there's a father figure, the father in the book who is born in Ukraine and he's a Soviet Jew. And I always knew that, but I didn't realize that the Soviet part of his history was going to come into play so much. I had had an alternative idea that didn't really pan out, and then I started kind of following the Soviet line. So actually, that was a great surprise of the book. Yeah.
That's so fascinating to me. And I understand that there are some aspects of your own family history that infuse the book, especially the sort of the Soviet era part of it. If you can talk about it, what aspects of your family history did you draw upon when developing this part of the subplot in the book? And how did you ensure both authenticity and sensitivity in portraying these experiences?
Yeah, I'd love to talk about it. I think actually that this book is my most personal book I've ever written. Even though all books have certain elements of my family's, like especially Jewish story, this book in particular is inspired by my dad's experiences in the Soviet Union. He was born in Ukraine. And he experienced a lot of anti-Semitism and persecution for being Jewish. And he left when he was 28 as a refusenik, which is this way Jews were able to get out of the Soviet Union. They could apply to leave, and he was refused. So then he's declared an enemy of the state, and he could be sent to Siberia. He could be jailed. And his path out was very fraught. And his grandparents were murdered in the Holocaust. His mother escaped from the Holocaust. So anyway, there's a lot of depth there to that story. And actually, when I maybe 10 years ago, my family went back to his hometown in
Wow.
Zhytomyr in Ukraine. It was like a really special, meaningful trip. And around that same time, my dad and I decided I would write a book about his life, so like a memoir. And it took 3 years. I interviewed him for 3 years. We went to Ukraine, and then he and I went to Moscow together because he had lived in Moscow when he was after the army, after the Soviet army, when he was working in his 20s. And anyway, it was a really special experience. And so basically I became the historian of his life. Like, I knew
Wow.
everything, and I did so much research into what it was like living in the Soviet Union. It really, like, I lived it and I breathed it, even though it wasn't my life. I really knew it. So I felt very confident to write this aspect of the book. Of course, I gave him the Soviet chapters to read and to make sure I got accurate, and he had a bunch of changes. And so, yeah, that was, because I tend to write books in international locations that I don't live in, sometimes that can be hard and it requires a lot of research. But with these chapters in particular, I feel really good about them because I did so much research and because he checked them. But yeah, it was a really meaningful thing to include in the book. And I didn't end up publishing the memoir I wrote with my dad, not because I'm not proud of it, and maybe I will decide to publish it one day. I think it's great. It just never felt like the timing was right. I opted to pursue my fiction career instead. But it's really interesting how I wrote this memoir and how the first book coming out of it is actually fiction, but inspired by his story. And it's really cool. I couldn't have envisioned that. And I'm really excited for people to get to read. You don't look at the cover and think there's a Soviet story in there. It's, the book is mostly set in Italy, but the few chapters set in the Soviet Union that are loosely inspired by his past is really meaningful to me.
It strikes a chord with me specifically because I am an immigrant and I was born one country over in Moldova from where your father was
Yes.
born.
That's where my
And
grandfather was.
oh
Yeah.
really? I didn't, they
Yeah.
probably they my ancestors and your grandfather might have known each other for all we know.
Probably.
How cool it would be if we were somehow, distantly related. That would be very interesting.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. The thing people have asked me, oh, you should write a memoir about your experiences, but I was little. I was 6 years old when we left, and then we moved to Israel, and then, most of my life has been here in the USA. And so on some level, I think we can't know what happened. So I appreciate so much you taking the time to really research and figure this out and really write it. But I guess the question I have is, how do you balance the need to stay true to your own personal family history while also crafting a narrative that's so compelling and that it's going to resonate with a wider audience, because so many of us are not from the former Soviet Union.
Oh, thank you. You know what? I feel very confident in taking things and turning them into fiction. Like, I have friends who write in different mediums, and sometimes, like, when they take their own story and turn it into like a screenplay or something, they really stay faithful. And I always am fascinated by it because, to me, like, the whole freedom of fiction is to be able to run with things in my imagination. Like, that's what I love about fiction. And so I don't know that I ever I mean, I felt I had to stay true to what actually happened and true to the time period. But I like, I it wasn't like I never felt like I was writing this character that was my father. That was never my intention. I felt like I had vast freedom, and the father character in the book is definitely not my father. His personality, the way he is as a father, his illness, like, just none of it is my dad. But I drew on my dad's experiences, in the army, being persecuted for his religion, being subject to anti-Semitism. I took a lot of that and stayed faithful to it, because it worked. But if it hadn't, I would have maybe massaged it. But staying truthful to things that actually happened in that time period. But, I wouldn't have, like, pulled something out of air that wouldn't have been realistic. But yeah, I didn't feel like I needed, I wasn't writing my family story. I mean, I'm writing this story that's totally not, that sprouted from my imagination. So that was kind of the fun of it. And also, actually, someone just asked me a question in an interview about how I, like, when I'm writing about my family history, how I care for myself, because it's something I really experienced when I was writing the memoir, is that when you're going into like painful, traumatic experiences in either your own life or your family's life, it can be really hard. And I felt that during the memoir, but I did not feel that during this book. I think probably because I processed a lot when I was working on the memoir, but also because, I wasn't living in that real time period that happened to my dad. I was living in my imagination. And so I think fiction makes it a little bit easier.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And it's interesting that notion of self-care, because that was going to be my next question to you was, what was your personal experience when writing something about that is something so challenging? Yet at the same time, we can, in our imagination, flow into what I love what you called it earlier. You called it magic. We can flow into that magic place where the story gets to flow almost through us. And something that you've talked about was the sort of feminine energy that you allow to flow through your creative process. And I would love it if you would talk a little bit about what that is for you and how you bring it in to incorporate it and also to bring depth and authenticity to your characters and your storylines.
I love this question. It's one of my favorite things to think about and to talk about. And I'm actually going to lead a course on sort of my feminine manifesting, more spiritual way of writing. But yeah, I think that sometimes a lot of writing is taught from a masculine lens. And that doesn't necessarily mean just men. Sometimes women, I think, also have sometimes this masculine process, and maybe it really works for them. It doesn't necessarily work for me. Like the formulaic way of thinking, like of how to put characters into a plot, and like the strategy of like, okay, so the character has to be this way to trigger this thing in the plot. I think a lot of that is like internalized because I'm such a reader, so I know how story flows. Like I just know that intuitively in my being, but it's not like I'm every time I'm, starting a new book that I'm getting out my craft books and like being like, okay, let's like, get this formula down. I'm much more in flow with myself and following my intuition. And it's like when we were talking about at the beginning, how the scene, the picture of this, those scenes came to me first. I think there's a kind of clicking feeling I get when something is like, yes, that's what I'm curious about. That's, with a book you're spending, I'm spending a year of my life on it. More, I mean, I write a book a year, but at the same time I'm launching this one, I'm, doing edits in my book for next year, and I'm writing the book that's going to come out the year. So it's like there's always a lot of books going on simultaneously. So I'm
Sure.
spending more than a year on a book. And I think in order to do that, yeah, I have to feel some sort of click or some sort of like, I mean, I'll go like woo-woo because I am woo-woo, some sort of soul feeling of like, this is what I want to spend time with. And I don't know where it's going to go, but I know I want to follow it and see where it's going to go. And yeah, for me, like my books start with a place because I write books abroad. I set abroad. I love setting books in international locations. I live abroad. I like writing about Americans abroad. And so it starts with a place, and I really like writing Jewish characters and figuring out some kind of new, maybe Jewish storyline or Jewish kind of idea to infuse in the book. And so yeah, I have those kind of things in the back of my mind, but book ideas just come from anywhere. Actually, it's funny. Usually around this time of year, I start to know what I want to write next. Like, and I just got my idea in the past month, and it's so funny where it can come from. Just this actually came from headlines, which I don't know that any other book has come this way, my new one. But yeah, I just know when I get that click and to follow it. And I think that's like the feminine qualities of receptivity, like where you're just open to what comes. I'm not, I follow my curiosity, and I just know that the book's kind of going to speak through me and speak to me. And I'm just like in a process with myself of letting that happen.
I love that you said curiosity. That just makes me so happy. To me, that I've written 9 books, and that aspect of writing, I wonder what if is sort of the question that pops up in my
Yeah.
head when
Yeah.
my curiosity is piqued. And so when you do that, when you're sort of following that what if or imagine if curiosity, again, I'm so curious about the trust in yourself that it takes to do that, because it took me a long time to get to the point, and I'm still not always there when I write. I still sometimes go, am I writer enough to do this story justice? You know, because as I'm writing it, every book that happens, I'm like, I love this idea so much. I don't know if I'm the one that should be tackling it. And I almost want to contact other writers and go, here's a great idea. You're a better writer. You should do this. You know, so talk to me a little bit about that part of it. While you're following your curiosity, how much does trusting yourself play a role?
I love that you say that. I've been a writer for a long time. I wrote my first book, over 20 years ago that never got published, but I've written many books, and I think that trust comes with growth. So it, I think like newbie writers, can't expect to have all that confidence and faith in themselves like right off the bat, because it's a process of cultivating that. I think that over time, that confidence really has grown, and I would call myself a very confident writer, but I think with every project, I still feel what you talked about of like, oof, can I do this? And I actually feel like that's a great, I think when I get that question, I know I'm on the right track, because every book feels to me like an expansion of like what I'm capable of, what I want to try to attempt. And I think if it stops feeling like that, it like I know that I'm on the wrong track, because I want to be growing. I want to be like trying new things. I never want it to feel like wash, rinse, re repeat. And so I actually think that like feeling of like, ooh, can I do this? And I'm writing a book now, and I'm feeling it again, of like, oh my God, have I bitten off more than I can chew? Is this like actually going to work? You never know it's going to work until the book's done. I mean, like, when I'm in the middle of it right now, you just have to go on faith. And so I think that a lot of it is faith, but I think it's like trusting that click of like, no, I want to do this. And also when you have that feeling of like, oof, I don't know, that's like, instead of taking it as like a sign to doubt yourself, it's like a sign that you're on the right track and to keep going.
I love that. I just love that, because it's counterintuitive, right? When you start getting scared or sort of questioning that, you would think most people would go, okay, maybe I should step away. And you're going, ah, this means that I'm on the right track. Let's keep going,
Totally.
which I adore. I think that I, for me, as I look at it, and I love this notion of writing with feminine energy, feminist energy, feminine energy, is something that is, it feels just a little weirdly otherworldly to me, because again, it takes that trust, and it takes the receptivity, aspect, which is, you know, being open to inspiration, being open to the flow. Can I ask you? I know you said that that's where you try to write, that's where you go. When there are interruptions to the flow, how do you handle those obstacles? When detours come up, when obstacles come up in your flow of writing a story, how do you handle those obstacles?
Yeah, they definitely do. I think that my creative life is one that I don't have a lot of, is an area of my life that I don't have a lot of limiting beliefs around. I did, but I've really worked to like, it's an area of my life that maybe I feel the most confident, which means not at all. I'm not trying to say that those blocks don't come up. They absolutely do. But I think when they do, I'm more trusting. Like this book I'm working on now is taking me a more time to write than I wanted it to. And the first half of the book has been much slower writing than I wanted it to. But instead of like freaking out about that or beating myself up that I'm not writing as that I haven't been writing as much as I Like, I haven't been hitting my word counts, which normally I'm pretty strict about hitting when I'm in the middle of writing a book. And I've just not, this book has not been like that for me. Instead of beating me up, I'm pretty soft with myself about it. Like, okay, because I know that I know how to write a book and because I've done it many times and proven that to myself, it's like, I know I'm gonna do it again. Okay, if it takes me 2 months longer, okay, it does, you know. You know, not to say the doubts don't come up, they do. Like, I've had that feeling that, you know, I have had that thought of like, oh, have I bitten off more than I can chew? Is this book like actually, is this too crazy of a concept and whatever? But I'm pretty good at having the thoughts and like talking myself down from them and getting back to a feeling of serenity that it's all like developing as it should. Yeah, I think that's been a practice that I've cultivated over time, and it comes with, you know, having written books and failed, quote unquote, failed at certain ones. And, you know, it's like all a growth experience. But also, like, I really have fun. Like, fun and joy to me are like very important in the writing process. And so I don't want to, it's like, I think there's a straddling the line between like push, I don't want to push myself beyond that point, which I'm not having fun anymore. And I want to hold myself accountable, but I want to also like have the joy in the process. And when it's not feeling joy and when it's feeling like I'm pushing a boulder up a hill, that's kind of time I stop and I'm like, okay, I can take the time to maybe I need to like walk on the beach to think through this scene and figure it out instead of just like staring at the blank page and waiting for it to, and it's not coming, you know? So, yeah.
It's so interesting to me that you said that. And I sparked on, you said, you know, when I'm not having any more fun. And I went, yeah, to me, what happened was I went, oh, we all deserve to have fun in our work. I mean, everybody, we all deserve to
Yeah,
have fun in our
totally.
work, you know? And so for me personally, if what I'm doing isn't fun, either I move to a different facet or I try to figure out what's fun about what I'm doing. Right. What can I do to make this arduous task, whatever it is, a little bit more fun? And I know, for example, lots of writers need routines, need something, but they also do deserve to have fun. So can you talk a little bit about what advice you'd give to newer writers who are interested in making this a joyful practice? Because so often writing is, you know, tearing out your hair while you're bleeding on the page. Can you talk a little bit about people who want to write, especially similar themes like personal history or feminine energy or even manifestation in their own work? What advice would you give to someone who's just starting out and who wants to pursue some of this while at the same time making it something that's joyful?
Yeah, I love that. Well, I think that number one is throwing out a lot of the limiting beliefs that creativity and writing a book seem to kind of generate within the, you know, within social media, within common conversation sometimes. I see so many writers who have these beliefs that it's not right. It's not, you're not doing it right if it's not so hard. Every
Right.
first draft has to be messy. You know, like writer's block is so natural, just like all these beliefs, which of course they can play into reality sometimes, but it's not how I just believe so much in your mindset when you approach these things. And so, like, working on your mindset to believe that it can be fun for you, it can be joyful, words can flow freely, like a book can really work. If you want to get published, you will. Like, having those, like, approaching the industry with optimism, I think, is the biggest part of the battle.
Awesome.
And it's like the biggest part is in, you know, the biggest obstacle is in ourselves. I don't think it's anything outside of us. And I think that, you know, sometimes people make it into, you know, opposing forces outside of us. Like they're, you know, the publishers are working against us, or kind of like a focus on things we can't control that are somehow, limiting us, when I think the limitations are really internal. And so I think that once you work on your limiting internal beliefs, then it's like what you said about curiosity. It's like following what you're curious about, following what's fun to you. For me, I wasn't writing mysteries at first. And then all of a sudden I was looking at my Kindle and I'm like, everything I'm reading now is a mystery. I love mysteries. Like, I loved Nancy Drew as a kid.
Me too.
This is what's so fun for me. And so why am I not writing mysteries? Oh, it was like a light bulb moment. Okay, I'm going to try to write a mystery. And it is so fun. I mean, have more fun writing mysteries than I've ever had. I mean, doing anything. Like, it's just so much joy for me. And I never want to stop. Like, I really found the thing that makes my soul sing. And so I think for everyone it's different, but it's like following those kinds of seeds and kernels of arrows. And as for process, I think it's also like having the courage to look inside for the answers versus outside. And I don't mean not, take all the courses, listen to the experts, like listen to people you respect. I think all of it is so useful, but then sift all the guidance you get through your own internal sieve, like what feels right to me. What like would work for me? Like, I like working in the mornings. I do not write every day. I mean, I do when I'm in the middle of a book, but I don't write every day like year round. And so I think it's just, I mean, it's kind of trial and error. You can't just like a newbie writer isn't going to sit down today and figure out every single thing about his or her process. Like you have to kind of go through it. But I think just like trusting yourself above all the outside voices.
Okay, that is fabulous. And the reason I'm saying that is because this notion of sort of going your own way and deciding for yourself, this is what's going to work for me, is not something that writers are told. Most of the time, we're told, don't use passive voice, don't do this, don't do that. But this notion of, yes, learn from what from the masters, learn the sort of appropriate techniques, but then trim out what doesn't work for you is so fascinating. Can you talk a little bit about that part of it? What advice do you have for new writers who want to go their own way? What is the mindset they need, and what are the steps? If you can give someone sort of a, these are the first three steps to take, what would you say to someone?
Yeah, I love talking about this so much because I think so much about like how I write and how I think we should write is like how I think how I live and how I think we should live. And I think that, yeah, for better or for worse, I'm, I guess, a rebel a bit as a person and as a writer. And I don't like being told these are the rules. Because sometimes I think the rules that are told to me, I agree with. Sometimes, like when I run them through my internal guidepost, I'm like, yeah, that's what I believe to be true. And sometimes not. And so I guess in terms of a three-step process, I've never thought about it that way, but what would I tell someone to do? I mean, I think that growth in our life is the same as growth in our writing. So I just feel like we should always be growing as people. We should be exploring things that make us curious, taking care of ourselves. I'm a huge believer in, I don't do therapy, but like I do breath work and I meditate and I am in nature a lot and I try to eat foods that nourish me. And I think all of that contributes to me taking care of myself in order to write, because writing can be grueling, and also me knowing myself, which I think a big part of creating characters with depth is having that depth within and knowing the depth within. So I guess the first, advice I would give has nothing to do with writing and everything, just to do with us as taking care of ourselves as people and being the most, growth forward people we can be. And then as far as writing goes, I would say, I mean, if this gives you joy, read. Like read as much as you can. Way more to me than like following an instruction manual is just read books that you love and that by writers you respect. And I just think that more than anything has taught me how to write. I mean, I don't have an MFA. I can't compare because I've never done it. So it's not like I'm saying you shouldn't do it, but I just feel like books have taught me so much. And of course I've read all the, the craft books and I've taken all the workshops and seminars, and I've had, mentors who are brilliant, and all of that has helped so much. But I just think like cultivating that trust in myself. I think that as much as you can, like, dispelling all the beliefs that say you're not worthy and you don't deserve this and you're never going to be good enough, and all of that internal work, I think, is so important to like clearing the gunk out of our mind, so that when we sit down at the computer, we're focused on the story. We're not focused on all the voices in our head that are saying we can't do it. So yeah, I think that's my advice.
I love that so much. Focus on the work and not all the voices in your head saying you can't do it, because there are often a lot of them. You mentioned earlier about sort of ridding yourself of limiting beliefs, but those voices, to me, they personify those limiting beliefs, the ones that say that you can't or you shouldn't or you're not capable or whatever those words are in your own personal head. And I personally do affirmations. You said, and I meditate. You said you meditate. When you meditate as part of your, I imagine, daily routine, do you have a routine to meditate? Are you sitting in a certain place? Do you walk along the beach? What role and what process is meditation for you?
I've meditated consistently and I guess religiously for 10 years. I do a form of meditation called Vedic meditation, which is also the same as transcendental meditation. So it's mantra-based meditation. And I do it 20 minutes in the morning and 20 minutes in the evening, so 40 minutes a day. Really, it's changed my life. I love meditating so much, and I really can feel a difference when I say miss even one. I think that there's like, I mean, the science behind it is like it's stress release, and it's releasing a lot of like old, it can go back into like releasing traumas and all of that. I think is like gunk that kind of clogs up your writing pipes, at least for me. Like when that's all not clear for me, then I find writing to be much more challenging, like to access my creativity to be much more challenging. And so, yeah, that's definitely, I think there's a lot of things I do that to an outsider wouldn't look like they qualify as writing, but to me are essential to my writing process. So, like that, and the fact that I walk on the beach every morning without my phone, and that's really when I get downloads on my whatever I'm writing that day. And that's when plot points work themselves out. And so, I think that there's a lot of like magic in there that's not just like, ooh, let me sit down and effort this. Like, I think that there's a way you can like sit down and effort things with your mind, but that's just not how I tend to work. I want to like the feminine, energy piece is like, let me just be out there on the beach walking and like be receptive to the problem working itself out for me. And that really is what I experience.
I think water plays such a huge role in sort of reminding us of flow, and I love the beach and the ocean as well. But there is, I mean, water's feminine energy, et cetera, but just remembering, sort of with our reptilian or even amphibian or pre-amphibian, pre-walking on land parts of our brains, that water's where we come from, and it is the source of so much. It's the source of, much of life, et cetera, et cetera. I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about that kind of, those kinds of thematic elements, but also those kinds of energetic elements, I guess is the best way for me to say it. When it comes to creating the work that you're creating, what role does not just the imagination, but your connection to, I will say, the earth, the sun, the elements, all of that play?
Wow, I love that. First of all, I love your insights into water. I never, for all the time I've been walking along the water, I've never thought about how the flowing aspects that are part of feminine energy. It's so true. And yeah, I think that's so unlocked something as to why it's really inspiring for me, in particular to my creativity. But I love the question about the elements too. I think I'm very connected to the natural world. And it's interesting because I used to live in Chicago, and it was really not an environment that was suited to me towards the end. And when I look back at it, it's because of the disconnect I had with sun, with the earth. Like I was, living in a high rise on the 46th floor, and I was working in an office building. And I think a lot of people can do that and thrive. And for me, I'm just not one of them. I'm also not a person who thrives in cold weather. So I think like suiting, now I live in hot weather. I live on the beach. I have my bare feet in the earth every day, which feels really important to me. I'm in the sun every day. All those things like feel crucial. They feel like air to me. And I think I'm the most creative I've certainly ever been in this environment. So yeah, I think your connection is really apt, at least for me. I think that a connection to the natural world is really important for my writing. I don't know if many people have made that connection for themselves, but for sure, I do believe that.
Yeah, it is interesting to me. I mean, I wrote an entire book called Life Elements, which is all about sort of living your best life with the elements, with the air, with the water, with
Wow, I love that.
because to me it's so important. And it's not, I understand lots of us need nature. We come from nature, and I personally am a city dweller, and I love being in the city, but I also love getting to go and spending time in the forests and on, and mostly for me it's the ocean. But we definitely have a connection that we could nurture even more. So I'm excited that you are living that. I think that that's so absolutely fantastic, Jacqueline, that you do that. I could keep you here all day, I know. But I know you have a day to get
I could stay here all day.
an evening to get back to. So I would love to ask you just a couple more questions and then I'll let you go. So if there's one thing that you can say to a reader of your work or to a potential reader of your work to spark their interest about reading this new book that's coming out, I can't believe tomorrow, about reading the main character, what would you say to someone to inspire them to check out the book?
Well, above all, above everything, I really write to entertain. I mean, I find so much joy in reading. Throughout my life, some of my most joyful experiences have been reading. So I think it's such a special like privilege to be able to give that to other readers. And I'm always thinking about like my reader, I'm imagining them when I imagine them reading the book, I'm imagining them just like flipping pages tirelessly because they can't get enough of the story and they want to find out what happens. And I mean, that's how I feel as a reader when I'm reading a really good book. And so, we've talked about my family history and all of that, but to me, all of that is side to the entertaining, like fun thriller. And I think I write happy murder mysteries, I like to call them, because
Yeah.
I write a murder mystery that's fun and set in an exotic location, and it's luxurious and it's exciting and there's like lots of suspense, and I don't personally go to the creepy side because that's not what I like as a reader. So I think these are just fun, happy murder mysteries, and that's like that's my overarching goal. And so for anyone that appeals to, I think you'll enjoy it.
Yeah, I think you'll be entertained if you read Jacqueline's books, if you're listening to this, you will it, they will entertain you. But also one of the things you said just sparked something in me, and I want to say reading both the chateau and the main character, that place seems to be almost a character in the book. In other words, your locations seem to be they're so well thought out and so well drawn that it seems like they themselves are almost participants in the story, which I think is very, it's not something that you see very often, but I think it's very cool.
Oh, thank you so much. That's such a huge compliment. And yeah, it's really something I'm mindful of because place is so important in my books, and traveling and experiencing other cultures is so important and fun for me. So it's really like a joy that I get to write different and write different places. And with every new book, I get to spend a year of my life in a new place. And so
Right.
that's like really fun, even though I'm not actually, I mean, sometimes I'm there researching, but I'm not living there the whole year. But in my mind, I am. So that's fun.
Yeah, it is fun. And it's funny. My husband and I are going to Ecuador next month, and I'm going, is there something that I could take in from Ecuador that would inform my next book? And if so, how? And immediately your brain starts going. And I do this thing where when something like that sparks, if I can't pay attention to it right now, I send it back to Edna, the librarian who lives inside my head, and she sort of saves it for it to come back up and bubble up later. Jacqueline,
Totally.
it's great. I love having Edna inside my head. So I have just a couple more questions, but before I get to them, I would love it if you would give where can somebody find the main character and where can they find you if they want to know more about you and your books and your writing, and also perhaps to follow you on the socials. Those all of that will be in the show notes, but I'd love it if you would just give it out because people hear and learn differently.
Yeah, totally. I'm at jacquelinegoldust.com. You can find like links to purchase my books. They're pretty much sold everywhere books are sold. I'm at Jacqueline Goldust on Instagram, which is pretty much the social media that I spend most of my time on. Yeah, that's where you can find me.
Awesome. And as I said, I will put that in the show notes so that if you're listening to this and you just want to click the link, it's going to be in the show notes and you can get that from the episode wherever you listen to podcasts. And basically the podcast is there. All right. Two last questions before I let you go, Jacqueline. The first question is, what gets you up in the morning? And I don't mean an alarm.
I actually don't wake up to an alarm. I wake up naturally.
Awesome.
What gets me up in the morning? I mean, honestly, I'm such a morning person and I really truly love my life. Like I love the simple things about my life and I'm excited to like make my hot water and with lemon and ginger. I gave up coffee 3 months ago, so that's my new thing. And
Wow.
I'm excited to like meditate and to journal a bit and to like go to the beach for an hour. My slow mornings like start is just the best opener to my day. And yeah, I have what I feel like is a pretty simple life and I just love it so much. And I'm happy to wake up every morning.
Oh, that's awesome. I love that. And I'm particularly impressed with the I gave up coffee. That's woohoo.
Yeah. I'm
That's
impressed with myself, to be honest, also. I didn't know that I was able to.
it's huge. It's huge. I actually have been in a love-hate relationship with coffee for many, many years, and I normally am in a hate relationship with it, but right now I'm in a love relationship with it. So we're it's it, my husband is not quite jealous, but he's getting there. And I do this. I go through months where I'm like, I'm gonna drink some coffee, and then I go, you know what? It's time to give it up. And then I give it up for years on end, and then I go, you know, I'm gonna drink some coffee, and I'll drink it for a few months, and then I'll go, I'm gonna give it up. So it's an interesting little teeter-totter.
Yeah.
It's very, yeah, I don't know why I do it, but I do. All right, so here's the last question, Jacqueline. And you might remember it from last time, but you might not. Here it goes. If you had an airplane, environmentally friendly, of course, that could skywrite anything for the whole world to see, what would you say?
Oh, I remember this question and I love it. Okay, let me think for a moment. I think I would say, you're doing great and I love you. Something like that.
I love that. That is so beautiful. Wow, thank you for that. That's phenomenal. It's funny. I did this thing, and it's about time to do it again. A couple years ago, I took everybody's comment as the answer to this question, and I made a couple of short little episodes about that. Like three, they're only 3 minutes long, right? But it's like 100 people, and it's 3 minutes, so it's everybody's about 30 seconds or whatever. I mean, 3 seconds, because it's just these little snippets of really profound life advice. And yours is amazing. You're doing great, and I love you. That's it. I mean, that it doesn't have to be any more than that. I think that's amazing, Jacqueline. Thank you so, so much for taking the time to be on the show, and congratulations on the book coming out. I'm extremely excited for people to read it. The main character is a really, it's a fun, on it, I like that you call them fun murder mysteries, because it is, it's a fun read. And I'm a huge Nancy Drew fan myself, and Agatha Christie, and all the other incredible mystery writers out there. So I'm excited that you've joined their ranks with your career. That's awesome. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you so much to you. This was really such a fun and meaningful conversation to me. I just always love talking to you, and this has been no different. Yeah, thank you.
Oh, it's my pleasure, and you are welcome back anytime.
Oh, I love that.
Seriously, this is great. I mean, to me, like, come back for every book. I think that would be great.
I would love
this
that.
is this is yeah, this is a joy for me. I mean, I get to talk to another author who's from kind of a similar background who writes mysteries, which is I also write mysteries. So we get this combination of symbiosis happening in synergy, and I love it. Jacqueline, again, thank you so much for being on the show. This is Isolde Trachtenberg for the Creative Solutions podcast. If you've been listening, you know that you need to go find out about Jacqueline Goldis's books. I've read two, The Chateau and The Main Character, and they are a fun read in amazing places with really, really interesting and provocative characters. You will enjoy them. And the main character comes out. If you're listening to this on May 20th, it comes out tomorrow, May 21st, 2024. And if you're listening to it after, then it's already out and you need to go find that book. Until next time, this is Isolde Trachtenberg once again for the Creative Solutions Podcast, reminding you, as always, to be bold, be creative, and most of all, be kind. Thanks so much for joining me today. I really appreciate you being here. Please subscribe to the show if you're new, and it would mean the world to me if you told a friend about it. Today's episode was produced by Isolde Trachtenberg and is copyright 2024. As always, please remember this is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Past performance does not guarantee future results, although we can always hope.